What's up, family? This is Jack Akemian. And I want to speak to you tonight. Man, I don't know what you're going through, but I know that you're going through something. All of us are facing challenges. Whether it be financial, whether it be family, whether it be sickness or depression. I pray that this podcast would encourage you, would strengthen you, even as you're working out, even as you're going to work, even as you're chilling in bed, just relaxing. Man, we got a lot to talk about, but tonight I just want to speak about one thing. And this is just a little disclaimer. This is my pre-launch reopening podcast of the Akemian Show. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would take every word, every song. And just so you know, my podcasts are not all scripture and worship. We will be dealing with current events. We'll be dealing with love, life, and all of its aspects. We won't be just strictly dealing with theology, but we'll be dealing with all the dimensions of our being and our soul. So I will be playing love songs. I will be playing political songs. Songs full of rage and songs full of celebration. Because as the people of God, we are not one-dimensional. And the scriptures themselves are not one-dimensional. If you read from Genesis to Revelation, you will see that the God of Scripture is multi-dimensional. Read the Song of Solomon. Read the Proverbs. Read these books and you will see that God cares about every aspect of life, from food to fitness, to your family, to your finances, even your sex life. And that's dope, y'all. That's dope. If you think about it, that God cares about everything. So there is not a mountain that God does not seek his presence to be upon. So my prayer right now, whatever you're doing, that you would be encouraged, you would be inspired, you would be challenged. Be blessed. In fact, this next artist I want to play, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to be speaking a little bit about Pastor Andrew Stokelyne from Inland Hills. I hope I said his name right. If I didn't, please forgive me. We're going to be talking a little bit about him. But here's a song by one of my favorite groups, called FKJ. I love this group. And they got a song called Better Give Up. Enjoy.
Thank you. part of my past. Better give it up now somehow. But I'll never, never, never stop thinking of you. I better give it up now somehow. But I'll never, never, never stop thinking of you.
So here we are tonight, and man, I don't know what you're going through, family, but love to talk with you and hear your thoughts. Man, so much is happening right now in society, and I think all of us are pretty shaken by the events that have been happening. I'm trying to fix this mic here. Hopefully I can get this right here, but who you guys were listening to right now is a group by the name of FKJ, and that stands for French Kiwi Juice, and I love that group. Real positive. I don't know if they're Christian, but they're positive. And in fact, in my podcast, I'll be introducing you to all kinds of music: Arabic music, French music, house, bass, just, you know, music from all across the world, because beauty is beauty, and you know, we need to, as Christians and just people, as human beings, just appreciate music. But yeah, man, love to hear your thoughts, and you know, if you got any prayer requests, please hit me up. Love to pray with you. I pray the Holy Spirit would strengthen you and encourage you and remind you of who you are in Christ, especially when you're going through hard times, y'all. You know, when we're going through hard times, that's when we forget. But, you know, James says, when you're going through trials, consider it joy. Consider it joy, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Produces perseverance. It produces character. And how we need to remember that when we're going through difficulties in life. Man, so much is happening, man. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about this pastor Andrew from Inland Hills. Another pastor who took his life. And it's a tragedy. You know, just, man, it just seems like there's been so much death around me lately. I can't even explain it, y'all. Just so much depth. Let me fix this microphone here. So we get this thing right. I don't know if this sounds better. Testing, y'all. Testing. 1, 2. Yeah, man. There's been so much depth around me. Just with the tragedy of Pastor Nigel dying. I know he's with the Lord, but man, that's heartbreaking. Had another friend whose wife just died this week. They were a part of our church family when we first came out here to Miami, and he just passed away. She just passed away from cancer, and then now today, of course, everyone's talking about this pastor who committed suicide. And what do you guys think about that? When pastors kill themselves, doesn't it make you feel like you can't make it in this world also? I mean, if pastors are killing themselves, that's just, man, you just feel hopeless. Even though we know that we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ, we feel that way. We feel just overwhelmed with life ourselves. But, you know, when spiritual leaders are killing themselves, it's even more of a tragedy and really discouraging. And I think we need to consider that if we're going to kill ourselves and we are spiritual leaders, that what we leave behind is painful, and it hurts so many people. And so definitely we need to be thinking about these things, you guys, as we think about killing ourselves. It's not just the fact that we escape pain, but that we leave a legacy of death. And in a sense, like, we just gave up. And so, and this is what I wrote on my blog. If you go to jackiekeemian.com, you can read my blog. But I wrote, "Another dear shepherd dead prematurely. It is both sad and enraging when you consider how this could have been prevented. But now his family, friends, church, and community must suffer the loss and ask the question, quote, can I make it in this life if my pastor could not?" End quote. Pastors are falling into the temptation to commit suicide or chronically sin against God, families, congregations for many reasons: stress, financial hardships, boredom, depression, isolation, and the list goes on. Our sinful nature, with the added strife of spiritual warfare with unseen enemies, makes the matter worse. One of the main issues that are least talked about is the deep isolation that pastors experience in their church, many times with their families and among their pastoral colleagues. In this blog, or I wrote in this post, I will focus on the horizontal relationship they don't experience with their professional peers. And I'm going to come back to talk about this blog, but please hit me up in the comments and Facebook. Let me know, first of all, how I can pray for you if you're going through depression. And again, we all go through seasons of hardship. James said, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. We need to look at trials and pain differently, y'all. We need to understand eternity compared to the short time on this planet. So before we come back from this song, this next song is by one of my favorite artists. He's real positive. His name is Tom Misch, and it's called South of the River. Oops. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button there. I'll get him. I'm gonna get it. Sorry, guys. Where'd you go? We're gonna get this, y'all. We're gonna get this. I lost him. here we go. Tom Misch, Your Love. Enjoy. We're going to be back to discuss this issue about suicide, depression. Love to hear your thoughts. All right, folks. So I want to continue this conversation. Let me know what you're thinking. We're discussing today this issue of suicide. I don't know if you've ever thought about committing suicide. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never thought about committing suicide. But I have been suicidal in the way that I'm living, right? I know that when I was running the streets before I became a Christian, I was at a place where I didn't care if I was alive. But I didn't want to kill myself. I didn't mind getting shot and experience the glory of the streets. So I was at that point where I didn't care. But man, God just got a hold of me though. God got a hold of my heart. Man. I just give him all praise. I give God the praise. He rescued me. Let me put this chair up a little bit. He rescued me. And I'm just thinking, you know, what happens to us as spiritual leaders, as servants, when we lose our way? And like I said in my blog, if you go to jackakemian.com, I wrote in my blog, one of the main issues that are least talked about is the deep isolation that pastors experience in their church. See, here, I'm going to tell you the truth. The reality is that most church people don't want to really get to know their pastors. We like the pulpit image, the superstar image, the TBN image. Because if we got close to our pastors, we would see their scars. We would smell their funk, see their junk. And a lot of us, because we're not focused on the Lord, we're looking for human hero worship. And it's hard for most church people to honor someone, even though that person is imperfect. And that's why a lot of marriages are falling apart. Couples can't seem to love each other, even with each other's flaws. It's hard. And I think a lot of it has to do with grace. Not extending grace to each other. Not forgiving each other. Not seeing one's own sin. You know, Jesus said we need to first take the plank out of our own eye so we can take the little bitty splinter speck out of our brother's eye. And a lot of times when you're not working on self-development, when you're not working on yourself, what happens is you become very critical of other people. And again, this doesn't mean we don't critique culture, we don't critique people, but we become judgmentally critical without redemption, without grace, without a way out for people to experience transformation and hope. And it starts because we lose the sense of who we are in light of God's holiness and God's grace. So in my blog, I said, look, man, pastors are isolated. I would say 8 out of 10 pastors is isolated. Not living in community. Hey, Cindy, how are you doing? Terry, God bless you, man. I went to school with Terry Zangerberg, man. That guy's a stud, man. Him, Eddie Howard, all those guys, man. So great to see you guys living life, man, being fathers. Man, hi, Cheryl. God bless you. Yeah, so this is deep, yo, guys. It's deep. You know, we think about life, we think about love. You got to think about death. Is your pastor isolated? Is your spiritual leader isolated? You need to pray for them. And I wrote in my blog that I have experienced and witnessed from 20 years of pastoral ministry that pastors are deeply isolated, competitive, and distrustful of each other. Because it's very rarely will you meet a spiritual father or spiritual brother in Christ that's like, hey, I want to help your church grow. I want to help you grow. I want to help to see you financially prosper. This is what I'm going to do about it. We just don't have that heart. Because we're trying to build our kingdoms. Rather than the Lord's kingdom. And that's the reality. See, once we get rid of our kingdom and put his kingdom first, I believe we're going to start seeing less and less of these type of suicides. We're going to see people built up. It says in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas and Silas, they visited the church and they built them up. They were interested in the local churches, the local elders, the local pastors being strengthened. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We don't have enough apostles in our city. We don't have enough evangelists in our city. And we don't have enough prophets in our city. Everyone wants to be a pastor. I'll be right back, folks. I'd like to hear your thoughts. And because everyone wants to be a pastor, That means a coach of the team. We don't have any general managers. We don't have any league representatives. Many of our denominational leaders, district supervisors, they're not apostles. They're not visiting you. They're not pouring into you without strings attached. And that's why our denominations are broken. The Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, Pentecostal churches, we're broken, we're dysfunctional, because people aren't operating in the fivefold gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, everyone wants to be a pastor, so there's no general managers, there's no league representatives, there's no one visiting and encouraging the local body of elders. Everyone is competing and doing their things in these fake collaborations when it's always about me growing my kingdom. And God is trying to wake us up, folks. Alright folks, I'm going to wrap this up. Let me read the rest of my blog. I wrote, we as pastors don't find ourselves sitting in a circle with other colleagues in intimate relationships without some kind of program, agenda, or highly structured prayer meeting that can be controlled by upper management. You know what I mean by that? When pastors get together sometimes, it's so structured. We sit in rows instead of sit in circles. We take that Sunday structure, that Sunday liturgy, and then we apply that into every aspect of our lives. And sometimes we just gotta unwind. We gotta, you know, unbutton the collar, just get real with each other, sit in a circle, look at each other, talk with each other, ask each other questions. Pastors don't ask each other questions and listen. Sometimes we talk about our church problems, we talk about the politics of the world, we talk about people, but then we don't talk about ourselves and listen to each other uncritically, without judgment. We struggle to just be friends and initiate care without a sense of control over each other or some motive to benefit or enlarge our church, network, denomination, etc. We are, in a real sense, trying to grow our Christian mafias. This struggle is an international phenomenon rooted in self-interest rather than Christ interest. And the genuine interest of the local pastor rather than Christ's interest and the genuine interest of the local pastor. The Apostle Paul found this trait of self-interest among many leaders in his era. And that's why he wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, he said, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, in all the people that I know in my entourage, there's not anyone like Timothy who genuinely cares for those local churches, those local elders. And then he wrote in verse 21, Philippians 2, for everyone looks out for their own interest and not those of Jesus Christ. The irony is if you join their family, they tend to ignore you more than the recruitment process. Pastors go through the same process with elders, their spouse, and families. Once the evangelism of the relationship has been secured, you are left alone in the mega crowd of sheep fighting for the pastor's attention. So whatever pastors go through, they end up doing it to other people. Because why? Because much of this is due to the bigger is better syndrome that plagues us all. We think the more people we have, the more bigger is better. When in reality, small is spectacular. Jesus poured into 12 apostles. He had a small church. He preached to crowds, but he discipled and cared for a small group of people, y'all. And we need to get away from this bigger is better mentality, because it's killing us. You know, it is killing pastors. Something about the pulpit and institutional structures and imagery of being clergy changes the chemical composition of our brains. It could be the adrenaline from regularly speaking, and honor placed on position, and the Western glorification of being on a stage, speaking, production, and being called a pastor. The entire Western church culture, coupled with our sin nature, is leading to some of the highest forms of personal, family, and community dysfunction the church has ever seen. That is why many are falling in our Catholic and evangelical institutions. It's deeper than just personal depression. It's like swimming in Lake Okeechobee with all its toxic waste and a few lifeguards, spiritual fathers that are able to help you. We must save ourselves to try to serve a few pastors with a desire to serve them, enhance their lives, and even ministry with no strings attached. We need to become spiritual fathers and brothers who want nothing in return but a relationship and the success of that pastor, family, and their local church independent of ours. Jesus' main requirement to be his disciples is that the pupil allows him to serve them, to wash their feet. Imagine if we fought, initiated, and earnestly sought ways to serve fellow pastors in order to enhance their personal and professional lives with no returns. We would reduce the burnout, the suicides, and the resignations from ministry due to chronic undercover sin. It reads in John 13, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You're our leader. You're our boss. You're not supposed to wash our feet. We're supposed to wash your feet. But look what Jesus replied. He said, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. That if you're a denominational leader, you're a network leader, you've been called to be an apostle, and that's to serve pastors. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so frustrated, especially with South Florida denominational leaders that I've been involved in. They're some of the most selfish people I know. Not once have they ever visited not only my family, our church, but other pastors. They only go where there's self-interest. But look at Jesus. Jesus got down and washed the feet of Peter, an insignificant person. I mean, think about that. And he says, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you understand that greatness is service. The last shall be first. And no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You know what he's teaching us? That to be part of a family is to be washed and cared for by those leaders. And I'm telling you, as we start doing that, as pastors do that with other pastors, that is, I believe, one of the greatest cures for suicide and these chronic sins and depression that's ruining pastors' marriages and families and ministries. And it says, and then I wrote, let's make washing each other's feet as pastors the main requirements for fellowship. Let's look to enhance each other's personal, family, professional lives without neglecting our own personal family needs, finances, rest, friendships, home, healthy bodies, relationship with Christ. Folks, pastors are some of the most unhealthiest people physically. They don't work out. Our finances are in disarray. And unless other spiritual fathers care for us and figure out ways for us to be taken care of and encourage us to be bivocational, pastors will go decades in debt, struggling, go to retirement broke. We need spiritual fathers and brothers that will begin to encourage us and challenge us and even create opportunities for us to grow financially and physically and mentally, to send us as with our wives on retreats and vacations. A lot of pastors don't get vacations. If we do this, the Holy Spirit, promises that we will not only save ourselves, but those people we are serving more frequently. And it says, it says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Watch your life and your doctrine. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, notice this, watch your life. That means your whole life. First with godliness, your spiritual life, but also your physical, your financial, every part, your marriage. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Those hearers, you know who they are? The people you serve. Other pastors, other evangelists, other prophets, other teachers, congregational members, people in your community, Christian and non-Christian. Paul says, first, watch yourself, take care of yourself and your teachings and your thinking closely. Because if you do, you will save yourself and your hearers. So consider that, folks. I believe these principles. Go to my blog, JackieKimian.com. And if you need help, you need any kind of encouragement or counseling or someone to talk to, reach out to me. Go to impact.vision. Go ahead and reserve a session to get together. But we love you. God loves you. Stay focused. Remember James 1. Consider trials pure joy, because your trials are producing spiritual, mental, and emotional muscle in your life. Until next time, God bless you.